This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us. As you know, tourism is a very big industry in Pennsylvania. And here in the Valley, a lot of people come in to see the sights. However, how has the pandemic affected that? We will talk today with Otto Karishian and Andrew Miller about that very topic and see just how things have been faring over the past year and a half and how they've changed some for the better. They have all that information up next. Andrew Miller heads up the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, working out of Union County, and working out of Columbia County at the Light Street exit, headquarters there for the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau, and that is where Otto Karishian is the director. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Tourism and pandemics, you wouldn't seem like they go together, but I'm sure the combination's made your jobs tougher, but also I'm sure there's been adjustments made that you've kind of taken a new track.
I mean, 2020 was certainly challenging, to say the least. But actually, in the end, I think, which is almost your point, you almost look at it as, you know, making lemonade out of lemons. It actually, it created a new, I won't say a new experience, but I guess a new way to look at things. And I think you're in the same boat as I am, Andrew, that we had predicted kind of cataclysmic type of drop in visitation. And our region, luckily, because we're very rural, and we have such great outdoor recreation assets, we actually did not do nearly as poorly, anywhere near as poor as our metropolitan areas. Our numbers were not off anywhere. We were predicting 40% drop in visitations and revenues. And when everything was said and done, the dust settled, we only were down about 18% from 2019 numbers, which were record numbers. That's a plus. And that trend is absolutely continuing in 2021. Again, I think for both our destinations, that the numbers so far look really solid in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Otto. March 17th came and the world changed, and then you either had to adapt or perhaps fail. And the interesting challenge, I think, for us as visitors bureaus was, I mean, our business is an odd business in that we market so the consumer goes to everybody else's front door except for ours, right? So when those front doors could be closed and the hospitality industry is hit the hardest with an awful lot of independently owned and small businesses, both our bureaus really rallied to try our best, with lodging and especially restaurants, and to try to adapt with that. And I had attended a webinar at the very beginning to try to stay on top of it. I was probably attending about 10 tourism-related webinars a week, yes, while sheltering from home, and it was education overload. But I in the first 14 days, I attended one out of Temple University in their department, I think, of outdoor recreation and tourism, and they literally said during the webinar that small rural destination marketing organizations that have great outdoor recreation components will have better chances of survival and better chances of recovery. And it was music to my ear. And sure enough, that has been true. Because we were less populated and outdoor rec was considered really safe, I think what we saw is an awful lot of people, escaping when they could from more urban environments to come into our great outdoors and to recreate and go where they feel safe. And they were traveling more with their family members and close friends that they felt safe to travel with. So we always budget very conservatively. So we did have a gloom and doom budget, and it was great to, we always look at it halfway through the year, and with one eye open, we were like, oh, this is bad, but not nearly as bad as we thought. And so at the end of the year, our deficit budget was a lot less than we had budgeted for, and we are seeing 2021 being consistent with that and being better than what we budgeted. But it's always, it's always day by day.
And a lot was canceled last year to some degree this year, but they've also kind of altered how things are done. I mean, like the Heritage Festival in Danville combining it with the Arts Festival.
Correct.
And was there a lot of that as far as this year, at least getting those things back with maybe in a different way?
One of the things that we had in 20 that we have in 2021 that we didn't have in 2020 was a little bit of hindsight, and a lot more education. And for those that canceled festivals and events last year, they were looking the best way to be safe for their vendors, for themselves, and for the public. And so I do think that what we saw was a lot more creative thinking. And it was slow at the beginning of the year. We really didn't see a pickup in any kind of event planning in 2021 until spring. It seemed that everyone was a little bit hesitant and wasn't quite sure. But then once the momentum started, we saw people, you know, planning their events, and then suddenly, boom, there were a lot of events, especially for summer. And I'm still seeing right now that people are optimistic in planning their events. They're allowing wiggle room. I know that some events have combined a little, and I don't want to say necessarily with other events, but let's say they may have a summer one or a fall one. They might just have one as opposed to two. You know, you really had to do your best to adapt, and I'm even pleasantly surprised with where the fall festivals are right now. I think everyone, once again, with education behind them, is planning smartly, but then also realizing that things can change. And when you're having conversations, more event producers are saying, okay, what happens if we have to cancel the event?
Do you guys tend to look at the daily COVID numbers and facepalm because you think, where are we going now?
You know, not only do we promote and market all of our member businesses to consumers, but we're also a small business with a small staff that operates as a business. So, you know, we always have to make sure that we are doing the best for our staff, and then also operating a visitor center, which is open to the public. We have to make sure to stay on top of everything. I do look at the numbers wondering, you know, how that will always impact visitation, not only at the visitor center, but to the area. Right now, what I'm just seeing is cautious travel, but I'm not seeing the numbers drop at all. I think there's once again, you know, you have a more educated traveler that is cautious, but I almost feel that right now people are trying to get their travel in, you know, before what we may see may happen in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Definitely agree. And as an organization that does host a large size event, you know, 150,000 people for our Covered Bridge Festival, obviously we canceled for the exact reasons Andrew stated, you know, the safety of our patrons, our vendors, our staff, everybody. In 2021, and I know we're going to touch on this at some point in time because it's part of the conversation that's huge within not even the travel and tourism industry, but in industry in general and in the world, in the country, is the lack of employees. That was one of many reasons, but probably one of the key reasons why we had to move our festival from its original home, which was at Knoebels, to the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds this year, is because, quite frankly, the staffing wasn't available, and we couldn't support, or Knoebels couldn't absolutely safely support, you know, having 100,000, 150,000 people with half the staff that they typically have. To continue this conversation, now that we're at the fairgrounds, you know, we are watching the numbers. And I won't say specifically, guess, for our region, but just the numbers in general across the country. And yeah, we have to, you know, first it was like, okay, move and reorganize at the fair, and let's set up the stands and booths and get all the dynamics of that process done. But then in the middle of that, the count started going up and the variant became prominent. Mm-hmm. That was the key word. We had to immediately start looking at plan B. Like, what are we doing with our inside vendors now? Because who knows what the rules will be. And to go back to your original question too, I think from 2020, because we are both membership-based organizations, I think a lot, and this is more internal stuff versus the actual traveler itself, but we spent enormous amounts of time just trying to stay current with whatever was going on, which changed daily, literally changed daily. Yeah. And everything with all the PPP, any of the funding that was available, the rules changed. They weren't clear at first. They changed on a daily basis. We'd have to go out and reach out to our members and say, okay, these are the rules today. Yeah, 2020 in that regard was ridiculously challenging, where, you know, I can honestly say I was the only full-time staff person. We kept a couple of part-time people, but they were reduced to like almost less than like 8 hours a week. So it was pretty much we were one-man shows.
The labor shortage, I mean, the one I always think of immediately is Knoebels, because we've heard about that and them trying to hire. And
I took a good portion of July off and I traveled. I don't care where I was. every place, every restaurant I went into, any hotel I went into, anything I went into, labor shortage. Driving the interstates, billboards for every industry imaginable. We need employees. We need I think everyone's been affected by it hugely. And I think it is going to change the way business is done in the future. You know, what's the future for brick and mortar? I don't know. What's the future of business travel? I don't know. Will it change? I can't imagine it's not going to.
And Andrew, you're outside the country cupboard there. That's one place that hours are different.
Hours are different.
I had a friend that went for the breakfast buffet, couldn't get it because, you know, there's just, it impacts everything.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be really frustrating simply because, I mean, I had a restaurant member. Well, actually, this would go pretty much for all of the hospitality-related businesses. But the restaurant was like, I'm ready for you to start sending people on my way. I'm just not staffed at 100%. And so it has to be frustrating for them to wanting to be open, but not have the staff or the chefs or the servers. And, you know, what you're seeing now are, for the first time, you're seeing, you know, announcements from some of our members and marketing partners that are doing job fairs and, you know, signing bonuses and, you know, giveaway prizes. And some hotels are hiring third-party house cleaners from out of the area. And we're seeing that they're offering a higher, you know, minimum wage or higher wages in order to attract people. I don't know when the numbers become less worrisome for them. We recently toured a new hotel that opened up in the area, and they were grinning from ear to ear to say that they just were fully staffed. And so, you know, as we were talking about festivals, some of the festivals that didn't come back or aren't announced yet are due to staffing shortages because they want to have them, but they just don't have the staff.
What is coming? I mean, what can we expect this fall that folks can be ready for?
Just in our region, I mean, the Bloomsburg Fair is still going on today.
Yeah, they do plan at this point. Yeah.
Our Cover Bridge Festival, again, still going on. Those would be the two major events in our region that are still being planned.
I mean, a lot of the same, you know, fairs and festivals are going on. Shamokin's having a brand new festival, a waffle festival, celebrating that the inventor of the traveling waffle iron is from Shamokin. You have the Sealands Grove Market Festival, Ard's Farms Fall Craft Show, and one of the major events that goes on in our area is a gravel cycling event that has received national attention, especially last year. The event managed to, the event producers and working with DCNR and following the CDC guidelines was one of a handful of national events that happened in 2020 successfully. And they're back right now with over 1,000 registrants. So, and that is right before Columbus Day in October. So I know that, you know, they have a plan B in mind. I think that what ideally we'll see now, this is once again where we don't know the crazy weather of the summer, how it's going to impact the fall colors. But one of the trends that I've seen in 2021, and it was announced in 2020 and has been following, is more people are traveling by car. And very similar to the Great Recession in 2008 and 2009, people tend to be traveling by car with family and loved ones a little bit closer to home. The staycation type of thing, the day trips, the weekends, and then also for everyone who missed everybody in 2020, they're reconnecting. With that being said, I feel that fall being our second busiest season, that ideally what we may see is, number one, I think a lot more people are going to enjoy the outdoors in the fall. You know, we saw all of our outdoor recreation-based marketing partners maxed out in 2020. Traffic and visitation grew by hundreds of percent increases in all of them, so much that the state parks and forests didn't want to announce too much that they were open because their current staff, fully staffed, couldn't keep up with the huge increase in visitation. Plus, if you talk to anybody that wanted to buy a kayak or a bicycle or so, they couldn't buy it, or by the time they got it, they couldn't enjoy it. So one of the biggest trends that we are making sure that we, I don't want to say take advantage of, I can't think of a better, capitalize on or at the top of a priority, is just outdoor recreation that we have. We've been marketing outdoor recreation. Our two areas are in the, are tied for fourth in the Commonwealth for recreation and entertainment. You know, we're having conversations about we need to have more access to the river. We want to have more bicycle friendly communities, that kind of good stuff.
There's a lot of change, but is it safe to say that everything will have changed? We're not going back at all, or are we going to be in a whole different way of looking at this in the future in tourism?
I've learned over the course of the last 18 months not to say this is what's going to happen, or listen to all the pundits that say these are the trends. And I don't know. Me personally, I think there's definitely going to be changes in the commercial, the business traveler. The advent of Zoom just makes gatherings that much easier. Instead of, if you're going to get 10 people to show up at a restaurant for a meeting, or even do an overnight at a lodging, I don't know. I can't predict. I mean, there's that one aspect of people love to be face-to-face and talk and have a good time together. But the other is, there's the bottom line. It's like, if it would have cost my company $5,000 to do that versus $500 to do, I wonder where those businesses are going to, what they're going to choose, especially in a tight economy.
And I've heard from a lot of people throughout all this that whatever their business or organization is, that technology has shown us what we can do differently. And in some cases, you say, why not?
I mean, I definitely think there's going to be some best practices. You know, one of the things that we definitely saw in 2020 were a lot of businesses and individuals who might have been a little bit more reluctant to participate in Facebook and not get drawn into it, realize that to talk to their consumers, as opposed to change the website daily for hours, you know, to keep up with the CDC guidelines and the state guidelines and all of that, they knew that they had to get on Facebook just to talk to their consumer. And so you saw businesses that were mastering Facebook more than they probably would have given it just been a regular year. And we're seeing some businesses that, you know, really knocked it out of the ballpark. You know, a lot of restaurants in the area really embraced the whole outdoor, you know, outdoor space. We saw them, you know, create new spaces, double the amount of people that they could feed. We saw, you know, restaurants that have outdoor oases created because they knew that the majority of people could be seated. One restaurant that I talked to said, we will always have the outdoor open, even in winter, with outdoor heaters. If somebody feels safe and wants to eat outside, we will do it. One restaurant actually had people eating outside while it was snowing. And so, you know, also with food to go. I mean, you know, it was carry out and delivery was always, but now suddenly you had carry out and delivery. You could order online. You know, you saw Grubhub, you saw DoorDash. You were ordering a lot of food. And if you were a person that really wanted to support local businesses, you were probably ordering out from local businesses more for food because you wanted to help them out. And, you know, restaurants, you know, instead of just one meal to go, or you'd have five meals to go for the family, they adapted by creating a whole entire family meal and gave you the recipe to do it at home. And I think that I know that in talking to the restaurants, these are best practices that are not going to go away. I mean, I know some restaurants that could teach master classes in adapting to COVID, because I don't want to say that they've thrived, but I will tell you that they fought tooth and nail to stay afloat, and they were just as relevant during COVID and did a really good job. And, you know, the pendulum always swings. And I feel that there's a couple of things with, you know, tourism and all this may changing. We might see a rush once there is a very large collective feeling of safety to travel. We might suddenly see this surge of people getting involved more and traveling more and visiting people more. And we might see festivals and fairs have numbers like they haven't seen before. I know one of the biggest challenges that we've had this year, and I mentioned this last fall as possibly happening, is so many events now are getting rescheduled, whether the university events or weddings, that what we run into this year is that people are all rescheduling for really popular weekends. Staying on top of the hotel inventory has been we're chasing hotel inventory, and we're having the university saying, we want to have it on this weekend. What's hotel inventory like? And we're saying, everybody's pretty much booked. And they're like, well, we can't move it. So staff right now is constantly providing hotel inventory because of all the rebooking and all the rescheduling. And I think we're going to see that into rescheduled events and weddings specifically well into spring and June of 2022.
You talk to, especially around here, I can't speak to every festival, but what you saw a lot of fair vendors do was adapt. And they set their stands up on the highways,
absolutely,
in parking lots, and they did well. And they're sitting there going, I'm not putting in 8 straight days of 15-hour days going crazy. I'm working a weekend and I'm making as much money. Mm-hmm. Should I even go back to the festival?
Well,
so you're having that conversation going on. So,
well,
I don't know what it's going to bring. I really don't know what it's going to bring.
And that brings up something really interesting, which I think that what we saw in 2020 and 2021, it is the year or years of the food truck. You know, you had, and the food vendor that is portable. What we saw with breweries that really weren't heavy on food, you had to buy food in order to buy alcoholic beverages at some, and they didn't have the kitchens. They didn't. What did they do? Food truck, which is another great adaption that they've been able to do. And what we're seeing to this day is they're still doing like food truck Fridays at these places in order to draw people in. And in my area, I'm seeing more food trucks now just setting up in parking lots along Route 15. Because number one, that they can, and it is, it's a very interesting trend, food trucks. It's a good time to have a food truck.
I guess our conclusion today is we don't know.
I think that's a safe bet.
We wish we knew. We know what we know today.
Yeah.
Interesting to discuss, that's a good way to put it. And see where things can go and how it's impacted us. Could you just drop in your websites quick for the various agencies so folks can check them out if they wish?
Sure. We're the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau. We're at itourcolumbiamontour.com. Websites updated constantly. We know our members were changing hours regularly and still are.
I always call before I go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, yes.
And that's what we're driving people to do is check their Facebook page, call them up, make sure that they're open, make sure you know what's going on, because we feel that tons of comments regarding that from people.
Yeah, and what I would recommend before I give the website is a big reminder to those that visit restaurants and go to attractions. Keep in mind that they are understaffed. My mantra for 2021 is be patient and be understanding that they're short-staffed. So if it takes a little longer to get your cocktail or to get your entree or appetizer, you're supporting local business, you're supporting local restaurants, the frontline workers, in the hospitality industry are your server, are that ride operator at Knoebels. Everyone's wearing multiple hats. Just, be patient and kind in helping out your local businesses. Our website is visitcentralpa.org, the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau that represents and promotes Snyder, Northumberland, Union County. Go to our website and log on to the calendar of events to see all the great stuff for the upcoming fall festivals that are going on, and sign up for a weekly newsletter.
And for folks not familiar, your physical location right outside of Country Cupboard?
Yeah, we're right out of Country Cupboard, right in the corner.
And for the Columbia Montour, right off the Light Street exit?
Right off the Light Street, Bloomsburg exit, off of 80, by the Denny's. Yep.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.